I read.
Before I speak, I will offer my obeisances to my spiritual master who has opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge. Om Namah Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Sri Mata Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Prachanine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyare Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivatsadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bandhu Atmanas Atmatmanas tasya yenatmaiva atmanajita Anatmanas tu shatrutve vatetatmaiva shatruvat. Translation: for him who has conquered the mind is the best of friends, but for one who has failed to do so, his mind will remain the greatest enemy. To become a little bit advanced in spiritual life will result in understanding the fact that God is always with you. Even a person who goes into the nature and in the night sees the stars on the cloudless sky will understand that there is a Supreme Lord behind everything who put the cosmos in order. It is a very natural reaction and a very natural understanding which comes when you see the vast creation of the Supreme Lord. Who of you has had such thoughts when they looked into the night sky that there must be God behind it? Yes. Our devotees? Well, we have devotees who were very, very fallen before they came, and who did not think very deeply, but now by the mercy of Krishna they also can go on the path of spiritual life. But this is a very common understanding which you will find as some natural thought which comes to a person who is a little bit advanced in spiritual life. Now a higher understanding how God is always with you even in this world is something which yogis aspire for. The yogi actually wants to understand how God is in his heart. In Krishna consciousness, we are also the yoga movement, bhakti yoga is our path. We understand that this, the Lord is there as a super soul in the heart of everyone. It's the same Lord in the heart of you as it is in the heart of you. But he is simultaneously in the heart of you and you. The example which helps us to understand this somewhat complicated subject matter that God is really for every one of us, privately for every one of us, in the most private area of our being, in our heart. A good example to illustrate this sometimes difficult fact is the sun. The sun is reflected in many bodies of water. In Sweden we have many beautiful lakes, and in each one of the lakes you will find the sun, a reflection of the sun. And also today I was visiting our Alka and our biological spiritual farm in Alnvik, and there are many, he makes many things like sauergurken, sour, you know, cucumbers and so on. And the sun is, and he has his little containers out in the sun so that the sour cucumbers are somehow getting the energy of the sun. I do not really know how to make sour cucumbers, but and in these little pots there is a reflection of the sun. Now we will find many reflected suns, but in actuality, although they appear to be different, they are all the same one sun. So in the same way, Krishna is in everyone's heart. Many, many different people. He's in the heart of, he was in the heart of Olaf Palme. he is in the heart of the new political heroes in the parliament. He's in the heart of the pious man who worships him and goes to the church. He's in the heart of the prostitute in Stockholm who prepares now for the night by taking an early rest so that she is fit at 12 o'clock. The same Lord is in the heart even of the little mosquito who plans to suck blood in the night. He's in the heart of the seagull. He's in the heart of the powerful elephant and of the little fish who swims upstream. In fact, in the Gita, the Lord describes himself. He says, I am seated in the heart of every living entity. And he describes that these many living entities are seated, let me say, are in this body like on a trapdoor. You know, he's saying, I am situated in the heart of everyone, of all the living entities who are in this body like on a machine of material energy, like on a tractor, like a farmer is riding on a tractor. And what does he do there? He's directing the wanderings of all living entities. All living entities. No exception. Every one of us moves according to the direction of the Super Soul, of the Lord who is within the heart. Some know it and some don't. Those who do not know it are directed by the Lord in a very judicial or legalistic kind of way. The direction of the Lord to those who do not know him is done like this. Krishna, or the Super Soul in the heart, sees what a person has done in his life, and he then gives the person, he sees the desire of what a person would like to do, but he gives the person a life or reactions according to his or her previously performed activities. Just exactly according to what a person has done, he is guided in a certain way by the Super Soul so that he gets his good or bad reactions. For instance, I do not know if you have this in Sweden, but I can well imagine. I know in Germany many people are very much into Lotto and Toto. Do you know what this is, Lotto and Toto? And it is a super, if someone has a good karma, it is the super soul who dictates him now, write down these numbers, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 1, 3, 4, 4, 4. And then he hits it, he gets the jackpot. I saw this in, actually I saw this in central Stockholm. Win the jackpot, there are 30 million Swedish crowns now inside, you might remember. So, if it's someone's karma, this, he will get the inspiration, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 1, 3, 4, 4. He will write it down and maybe some of you will try to find out. Maybe I heard it in a Hare Krishna temple. It must be auspicious. but no. Only if it is your karma, you will win this jackpot. And the super soul also makes the arrangements. If you have done something very bad, you will get the just and fair reactions to your activities. Now, listen to this. If you become a devotee of God, then the super soul will not instruct you according to your karma. It will give you instructions according to another principle. This is expressed also in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says to those who are devoted to me, I, sitting in the heart of everyone, give the understanding through which someone can come to me. Many of you have met this devotee of Krishna and have heard him, Umapati Maharaj. He's already 60 years old and is one of the first devotees in our Hare Krishna movement. And he told me how he came, not told me, but it's in the book Prabhupada Lilamrita. Listen to his story, how he came to Krishna consciousness. You will surely understand how the Lord has directed his way. He had heard about devotees and was very interested in spiritual life. So one day, but he never met devotees. He lived in San Francisco. So one day, he was just praying to the Lord, oh, help me to meet people who know more about you, who can instruct me. So he went, and it was a lonely autumn evening. He went through the Central Park, no, Central Park is in London, in New York, Golden Park, sorry. He went through the Golden Park, and the autumn wind was blowing, and leaves were going through the air. Then all of a sudden he saw a piece of paper, which was blowing to a shoe. And, you know, like, I don't know how you react when some paper is on your shoe, you just try to shake it off. But it would not go from his shoe. This is not very funny, it is just the ordinary human experience. Why are you laughing? So there was on the shoe, couldn't get it off. So finally he bowed to take the paper, just throw it away. But then he saw what an interesting piece of paper, you know, and he took it out and looked and he said, "Welcome to the Hare Krishna festival." Hare Krishna festival, Hare Krishna Sunday love feast, this is how it was called. And he found exact directions on the invitation card how to meet devotees, and he immediately understood. It was the super soul who directed him, so that at the exact, you know, that first of all someone had thrown the invitation card away, then that he and that went through the park, and there was a storm, or not storm, this wind who blew the leaves and the paper around, and you know, and that he came exactly that pathway or not another pathway, and you know, he got the invitation card. But so this is a little, how would you say, illustration of what it means that the super soul or Krishna takes personally care for someone who wants to come to him. See, in our movement for Krishna consciousness, we stress a lot that it is important to be guided by a spiritual authority. But we also stress a lot, or bring the point to the attention, that the supreme authority is already in the heart. You have God in your heart. Imagine. You know, after this lecture, most of you will most probably take a little prasadam at our Govinda restaurant and then move slowly, say goodbye here and move home. Please think on your way home about this fact that the Lord or God is in your heart. You don't have to go very far. He's 5 centimeters under your skin. Very close. This close? I don't know, 5, even closer maybe. can't really say how close, you know, very, because I'm not a biologist, but very, very close. Now what? How often are you aware of this? Often? Middle often? No time. No time. You can think about this. If I look into your eyes, I see it's not very often. Why? You are interested in spiritual life. Why do you forget this? That you are very close to Krishna. He's always with you. Why don't you learn the art to turn to him? Imagine you would always have a restaurant with you, just as a thought experiment. You would always have a restaurant with you, it would go with you everywhere. It was like a mini restaurant, or I don't know, you know, how to do it. But imagine that ever you would be, there would be the restaurant with you, with ice cream, bread, nougat, marzipan, strawberries, cream. You know, everything. Wouldn't you turn to the restaurant whenever you are in need, you know, okay, I take an ice cream, you know, okay, I take some bread, you know, and so on and so forth. You would frequently go there to take care of your needs. But you don't have a restaurant with you, and therefore you need to go to one. Now, in spiritual life, you do have someone with you all the time who can take care of all your needs. It's the super soul. He's always with you. He travels wherever you go. He's even with you in the forest of Sweden, Skogsnäs, or this ness, or that ness, you know. He is with you in Jönköping when you go there, in Göteborg, in Fridhemsgatan, and all the different gatans which are here. Why don't you turn to him? What is wrong? the explanation is given here. For him who has conquered the mind is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his mind will remain the greatest enemy. And Krishna makes it a little bit more clearer. For one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already rich. For he has attained tranquility. To such a man, happiness and distress. Ooh, this is a very important thing for a conditioned soul. To such a man, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor, are all the same. Because he just can say goodbye for a moment from the temporary dualities of material life. He can say, okay, it may be hot or it may be cold. I may be honored or dishonored. I may, you know, feel happiness or distress, but it's really not so important. Goodbye for a moment, my dear material duality. I don't want to see you for some time. I now turn to the Lord in my heart. And I will get solace and inspiration and so on. But this is only possible for someone who has learned to control his mind. If the mind is not controlled, we will always remain in a type of mental prison. Today, was it in the morning? Yes, in the morning, we drove very fast from our Cosmos God project to our Anvik's God project. And on the way, on the left-hand side, there was a prison for heavy prisoners, criminals, there were the criminalitskis, the criminals. We could see behind a very big wall. Did you notice? So such a high wall, isn't it? Under, you might remember, very high. I think it must have been 4 meters high, minimum. And then, you know, say someone would run, you know, a prisoner would run, and sometimes when you have enough speed, you can run quite high. You know, if you know the art, you have to be like a cat. But then they had it. It looked like a mushroom. See, this is like the wall, and then it went up like this, like a mushroom. So if you would even run very high, and you would not be able to cross it. Do you know that you have 5 such walls around your heart? Please explain such a number as well. Yes, in a moment. The first of the walls which is surrounding the conditioned soul is called illusion. Illusion means he doesn't know who he is, who is Krishna. The next wall is called asmita. Smita means what?
Smile.
Smile, yes. We have one very wonderful Vaishnav here in Sweden. His name is Smita Krishna Maharaj. I just read the letter which Prabhupada wrote to him at the time of his initiation. Smita Krishna means the smiling Krishna. When Krishna smiles, his smile takes, you know, as is described, it evaporates the ocean of tears. In this world there is an invisible ocean of tears. All our Prabhu, our man, our Matajis, all the tears which you have cried. Some of you have cried a whole bathing tub full of tears already. That is in that invisible ocean of tears. This is the miserable misery of the conditioned soul. So Krishna's smile evaporates the ocean of tears for his devotees. So the first ball is illusion, the next ball is Asmita. Asmita means nothing to smile about. What is nothing to smile about? It is a very interesting and very heavy thing in our heart. It's described and not in the heart. The knot in the heart of false ego. False ego means you become totally identified with the body and think only in I and my mind categories. This is me, this is my interest. I and mine, and this can become so painful, this knot in the heart. I know devotees who have a knot in the heart. You don't believe. It is a 20 tons heavy. I know people, you know. Oh, let us not talk about it. Nothing to smile. The next thing is attachment. This is another wall around the heart which captures the conditioned soul. People are so attached to their boats, summer boat. I was going with Manidhara Prabhu on his very interesting swan-like boat. It's actually a swan-like boat over the Stockholm ocean, over the Kanchen. It was not really an ocean, and a Binnenbucht, whatever that is in English. You know the lakes or whatever, the water in and outside of Stockholm. And we saw these people in their big boats, and I could understand they were so attached to these boats, you know. Hey! And driving in these very expensive boats with toilets and everything inside, you know. And then we came, not this time, but I saw one time, we made a little scratch on one of the boats, just little, you know, with black, and this was a big problem for the people. Very attached. Oh. All the nice Scandinavian, you see at this time of the year, all the many Scandinavian people are lying naked in the rocks, because they want that the sun gives a nice tan in the body, even in the private areas of the body. Even there, they want a very nice brown color to appear there. They're very attached. That they look very brown and very good, you know, so on in the body. Yes. The next, let's see, is hatred. Sometimes a conditioned soul begins to dislike something or someone so strongly that he always thinks about this someone or something. I remember my uncle divorced, and he just hates his wife. Now the judge has said, well, okay, you divorced, half of what you own goes to the wife, and half of you of what you own goes to you. Now my uncle, because he hates his wife so much, is selling all he has. But listen to what he does. He had a very expensive car, maybe, I don't know, $30,000 maybe worth, and he sold it for $1.25. Because he just hates his wife so much, he just doesn't want her to get anything. This is shook, isn't it? Now he will, I don't know if he did it, I became so utterly disinterested in this life when I heard this. He will sell his house, you know, maybe for 50 German pennies. this is how you can become so obsessed with hatred. There is a very subtle law of nature. Very subtle. It is a very cruel law. When you strongly dislike something or someone, then this thing will enter your heart and stay with you. If you hate, for instance, so-and-so, Per Andersson, you know, the typical Swedish name, or Britta Andersson. You know, this Per or Britta will always stay in your heart. You give Per or Britta the most valuable place in your life, that's your heart. Congratulations. This is how, this is the subtle dealings of the material energy. Sometimes in our movement, I see devotees who strongly dislike something. Oh, this is very bad, you know. But all day and all night they think about it, and it gives them problems. It may be, this problem may be only for half an hour, let us say, when you take prasadam, and someone doesn't give you the sweet balls which you like so much from the Maha Prasad, you know, and then they think, why doesn't he give me sweet balls? What is wrong in him? You know, and then you begin to think about this the whole day. This is how cruel material life is. Therefore, it's a wall, aversion. Then the next wall is called absorption, of being totally engulfed in Maya. So to make it simple, let us say that there are five walls around us. We can't move outside of them, just like a prisoner cannot leave the Sudetalia in Kriminalitsky prison. You know, it is not possible. Illusion, false ego, attachment, aversion or hatred, finally, deep absorption. In Krishna consciousness or spiritual life, you must break those walls of illusion, because you cannot really be called a free person as long as you have behind these walls of illusion. You are not free as long as you are captured by these walls of illusion. And to make myself perfectly clear, I want to tell you a story which I heard when I was very young, and which remained with me for a long, long time. I will do now something which is done in our spiritual tradition, that is to make a complicated spiritual point very clear. My point is, Lord is always with you, but as long as your mind is uncontrolled, as long as you have material influences in your mind, you will not be able to see the Lord, because you are a prisoner behind five strong walls which are around your sritta and are around your heart. This is the point. Now I will illustrate this, and I will take you on a journey. I will take you away from Stockholm to another time, to another life. And you please follow this, and I can guarantee you after the lecture, after the story, you won't be the same person. It changed my life totally. After I had heard it two times, I decided I would become a devotee, because I did not want to experience the same problems which the main character of the story experienced. Let me now explain you the story of Dasa. Once, long, long ago, there was a mighty emperor whose name was Ravana. He had many sons, but his most dear son was called Das. He only had one son. His only son was called Das. Now, it so happened that the mother of Das died when Das was still young, and Ravana, not being inclined to live his life alone, married a second time and had a second son. This son grew up and he was called Nala. The mother of Nala was thinking every day, oh, one day this Dasa will become the next king, but I don't want this to happen. I want that my son Nala becomes the next king. And therefore, she did everything in her power in order to get rid of Dasa. Once Dasa went into the forest and all of a sudden he saw five bowmen around him aiming with their arrows. And only because he knew the art, which is also known in ninja fighting, that is, he took the dust and threw it in the air and then at the moment of confusion ran away. Only in this way he survived. At another time, Dasa was presented a cake and he was just going to eat it when a voice inside told him, don't eat the cake. He gave the cake to a little piece of cake to the dog, who immediately screamed, died on the spot. There were many such incidents in the life of Dasa until finally the priest understood this is getting too much, and he took the young Dasa. He was only, I believe, 9 years or so old, and said, Dasa, you will be killed by this stepmother of yours. In your own interest, I will solve this situation. Do you have faith in me? Yes, said Das. I also noticed I will not be able to live in this kingdom a happy life as long as I remain at the court. Do you really have faith in me? Asked the priest. Yes, you please save my life. So the next morning, the priest gave Dasa away with some herdsmen who took care of the cows and of the sheep and so on. Dasa left the king, the court of the king once and for all, he thought. How happy he felt to walk freely in the nice forests. He became a strong young man, a freedom lover, who slept under the canopy of the sky. The sun became his friend, and so did the moon. He learned the art of speaking to the birds and wild animals. And he grew in intelligence and character just as much as he grew in bodily strength. One day, it so happened that young Dasa saw a beautiful lake. The lake reminded him of the peaceful mind of a svetas, of a saint. It was as deep and undisturbed as the mind of a devotee of the Lord. And he became very interested. He went to the lake and there he saw a little path. And he followed the path to a clearing in the forest, Lichtung. And there he saw a little hut. Before the hut, he saw a saint who had beads in his hand, and he chanted the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he looked so peaceful, satisfied and also happy. A happiness came from within, which was almost infectious. Das just sat 50 meters away from him, just looked at him, and felt also a peace arising in his heart, which was previously unknown to him. But as the sun was setting, he knew his time had come. He had to go back to the other herdsmen, and they went to another forest and another area of town. After some time, finally, Dasa heard news that his stepson, a stepbrother Nalak, was crowned as the next king. And he remembered that, oh, actually, I should have been in his place, but I'm so happy I'm not. But anyways, just to see what was going on, you know, to look into his past, if you so want, he went into the town where there were festoons and flags everywhere. He heard the music and the drums announcing Nala will become the next king. Ravana has died. We are so fortunate to have such a highly learned and intelligent prince. So he went in the town. And because he was a king's son and he looked very strong, all the women began to talk about him. Oh, he looks like a prince. Who is so happy to be married with him? Maybe I could marry him. Look at him. Like in the theater. It was a very good performance. I've seen you. You were taking part in the theater, I believe. And very nice and very impressive acting. Mm-hmm. So he thought, oh, I'm good that I'm out of this town where everyone is so materialistic and so on. And he went to the core, to the huge arena where the festivities was going on, and he saw how Nala was going on the stage, very proud and very illusioned. And for him it was like a sad drama, like a sad story. He did not feel any attraction, and he left early to go back into the freedom of the forest. Now a little later, he came into a town, and there he saw her, the most ideal woman you can imagine. Every centimeter of her body glowed with erotic attraction. He was so captured. Then he said, oh, who are you? And the woman said, I'm Prakriti. And he fell in love, to make a long story short, and married. And Prakriti says, all right, you can marry me, but you have to work 8 hours a day at the land of my father, so that we can slowly build a house and all. Dasa gave up his freedom. He went into the house. But every evening he was richly rewarded when he went with Prakriti into the garden of lust and picked the mango-like fruits of sexual enjoyment. Yeah, how it is described. One day, Das heard a tragic news, or an agitating news. Nala, the king, had set up his camp just a little outside from where Prakriti and he lived. He was on a hunting excursion. he had a bad feeling, and he said to Prakriti, Prakriti, as long as the king is here, please stay in the house and don't leave the house. I have just a house. He waited the night. She didn't come back. 3 days she did not come back, until finally Dasa got very nervous and agitated. He went and looked for people. Have you seen Prakriti? And finally one young boy said, yes, I saw her at the tent of the king. Dasa tried to go to the tent of the king, but it was not possible. There were guards all around. But he was a man of action. He climbed upon one tree and waited. He waited the whole night. And finally in the morning, he was richly rewarded. He saw how Prakriti left the tent of the king. And her hair was in disarray, and her cloth also. And her face bore signs of lovemaking. Oh, he felt a pain in his heart, which I cannot express because I took to the renounced order of life quite young. He felt such a pain. He waited. Finally, after 3 hours, Nala, the king, came out of the tent. He was sleepy and exhausted, as if he had been awake the whole night. This was too much. Dasa glided down the tree. He took his little, I don't know the English word, what is it? You put a stone inside and you go like, what is it in Swedish?
Slunga.
Slunga, yes, the slunga. That sounds all right. He took the slunga and whirled it. And finally the stone flung out of the slunga. And with it, the hatred of Dasa flew out of the slunga and hit the king Nala on the head, who died immediately. Bang! Now Dasa had killed. The first time in his life he had killed. At the beginning, flames took over his whole body. He was so excited. He could not really breathe. He was sweating. But it was no time to enjoy or suffer this feeling. He ran as fast as his legs took him. Soon he heard the guards of the king chasing through the forest, and he knew it will be a run for life. Finally, he managed to find a cave where only wolves lived, and he hid in that cave. He heard for many days the almost armies of soldiers marching by the cave, but he was very nicely hidden away. Now Das was again a traveler on the paths of the forest, but very often he looked back. He felt, I have escaped the king's men, but something very terrible is following me. Very often he looked back. He knew that his karma was following him. And he knew it will be very difficult for me to run away from the karma. Finally, after many years of living like a chased animal or hunted animal, he came to that same lake. It looked as peaceful as the mind of a devotee. And he saw the little path leaving the lake, and he followed that path. same saint chanting this peaceful sound vibration, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. How peaceful he felt. He felt, here I finally found someone. I will not leave him again. I was foolish. I left him again and went into this town where I became infected with material desires. Then I became a slave to this materialistic person. And finally, as a result of my attachment and illusion, I even killed someone who was my brother. I will not make the mistake again. I will stay with the saint. The saint apparently had much to chant and did not really take so much notice of Das. But Das began to serve him. For 2 weeks he brought water. He took care of the hut. He swept before the hut. And he did all the little things which are necessary to be done when you have a forest life. One day he decided to ask the saint something very private. He said, "May I interrupt you?" "Yes," said the saint. "Please hear my story." And he told him his whole life story. How he was the son of the king, and how the priest brought him out of the king's palace into the security of the wilderness. He told him how he met Prakriti, and then he told him how he killed his stepbrother. And when he told this, the saint began to laugh. Dasa thought, "What? He's laughing. He does not understand me." But because he had thought for a whole day what to say, he continued, "And because now I'm so much tensed and so I'm suffering already the reactions, I have decided to take to the path of spiritual life and I want to become your disciple. I want that you guide me." "Really?" said the saint. And Dasa said, "Yes." But everything in him screamed, "No! You have not understood me in my moment of pain. You have not taken care to look into my deep feelings. I feel very hurt. I cannot follow this path of mind control and sense control and reading the scriptures and chanting." You know, this is what his heart said. So next day, Dasa, who could not overcome his feelings, decided to leave the saint. He thought, "Better I become a wild animal and roam around in this forest until I die an unglorious death than, you know, to be a false person." So he went one last time to the spring to get some water for the saint. He wanted to quickly bring the water and put it before him and then say, "Dovijanya, goodbye. I will not come back again." This was his idea. Now when he came to the spring, all of a sudden he saw her again. Between the two trees he saw Prakriti. Prakriti looked at him as if she had waited for him. And she said, "Dasa, here you are. I'm so happy that I finally found the Lord of my heart. When you left, Nala was killed. Some say it was you, but I don't believe this. don't believe. Since that time, I have looked for you, and I have heard many things which the people say. Do you know what they say now? They say Nala was a rascal, and actually he was not entitled to be the king. They said that you, Dasa, are actually the real king. Dasa didn't know if he should believe his eyes, the ears, or not. Also not the eyes, it was so perplexing. No, you come now in the old king's palace, you become the next king and I'm your queen. Naturally. Something, some inner voice told Dasa, don't go. But he ignored this voice. Where else to go? So he went with Prakriti. It's a very long story what happened then. Finally, you know, he had a son with Prakriti. And very interesting. The king of the next kingdom attacked the town of Dasa. Dasa fought for a very, very long time until finally he felt the lance in his back. And he fell over and he woke up at the palace of his enemy king. When he woke up, the first person he saw was Prakriti with a face of stone. And then the second person he saw was his enemy with a face of stone. And the third person he saw was his dead son lying on the lap of Prakriti in his own blood. Not with a face of stone, but with a face of death. What, Prakriti? What happened? She didn't answer, but looked mysteriously at him. His consciousness left him. He fell into a swoon, and he woke up in the prison of his enemy. He was thirsty, but not only for water. He was more thirsty for death to come and take his useless life away from him. He fainted again, and then he woke up. He didn't want to open his eyes. He only felt the heavy metal. He thought, this must be my chains. But then he saw the sun, or he felt how the sun fell in his eyes, and it became painful, and he finally opened the eyes. And there he was lying next to the spring. His hands had the water bowl, which he wanted to get water for the saint. He looked around. No blood, no pain, just a little pain as if he had fallen on his back. Bang! He looked around. It was the same forest. And all of a sudden he understood. He took quickly the bowl, he was happy. He took the water, brought it to the saint, and said, here. The saint looked at him with his mysterious eyes and said, is everything all right with you? Have you seen something special? You look so moved. Dasa said, yes. I saw into Maya's face, a material nature's face, which always is full of allurements, which always agitates the mind. And was only a few more weeks until we got initiation. And he is now Dasa. He is still Dasa. He may be called Krishna Das. He may sit in this assembly. She may also be called Krishna Devi Dasi and may also sit in this assembly. But he or she may have forgotten the important lesson of the life, that is, to control the mind, which always goes into this material world, into the dualities of the world. Say, this is good and this is bad, I'm attracted here, I'm tempted there, and so on. In this verse it says, for him who has conquered the mind is the best of friends, but for one who has failed to do so, his mind will remain the greatest enemy. So, Hare Krishna, this is my story in the Hare Krishna Center. Do you have any questions regarding this subject matter or any other subject matter? How do you like the story? It's moving, isn't it? I think you all will have to think a little bit more about the story because it's a very difficult story. Very mysterious, and I will not answer the many questions which come up in the story. Why this last scene, or how did it happen? It was an imagination apparently, or a dream. But our whole material existence is taking place on the mental platform. If we would see Krishna, become attached to Krishna, we wouldn't lead a material life the way which we do it. Our life would be a dance. We would be very happy always because we are the best friend. The super soul is the heart. But because our mind gets attached and interested and agitated and we get, this must be changed, this must be done, we become entangled. Okay, so you are so stunned, so clever guys. Here is one. Yes, Maharaji? I don't know, I heard it. I think I will, see, I like the story so much. I'm telling it a few times. I've told it about 5 times now. I will tell it a little bit more, and then I want to write a book about this, my own story. I will take this as an idea and make something, and then you can read it. It was one of my friends. He told some elements of the story. He only told the external affairs. He said, I heard a story from India. You want to hear it? And I said, well, if it's not so long. I was not very interested at that time. And he told me, and I thought, wait a minute, that's me, the person in there. And then I forgot about it for many years. And then I thought again, how about, you know, I wanted to make something clear to myself, and then Krishna gave me the story. And I can't tell you really, I think I have changed it totally because I have a very, very blooming fantasy. It blooms every minute of the day. I never bought it. So yes.
A different subject. Do you know what Krishna's internal energy is?
What Krishna's internal energy is?
Yes.
Yes. It is called the Hladini Shakti. Hladini is pleasure, the pleasure potency. We have three. Then a Sandini Shakti. Sandini is what manifests the spiritual dimension, a spiritual world. And then he has the Chit Shakti. This is knowledge. Now, if someone engages in this world, in devotional service of Krishna, then he feels a little bit of that energy, that pleasure potency, Hladini Shakti. It is bestowed upon him like the rays of the sun. It falls into the heart of a devotee and he becomes so happy and joyful, and so on. And also Shit Shakti. You might have noticed this yourself when you are following spiritual life. Sometimes you have just an intuitive knowledge about things. Have you seen this? You know this, that, and so. The knowledge potency. We can, but this is only drops of that energy. It's fully there. It's fully there only in the spiritual world. So Krishna's internal energy, it's called the Antaranga Shakti. It's composed of Sandini, the existence which manifests the spiritual world, the Chit, the knowledge which is freely available, especially which tells you the knowledge of your relationship to Krishna, and also the Hladini Shakti, the pleasure giving potency. Kandapa Manjari.
About
the stars, stars, yes.
He was very much attached in his story to his influence, the man. And it was, I don't know in which yoga it was then, but I didn't suppose that it was before Kali. So, in this country, we are so much under the influence.
Of Maya, yeah. Sometimes disturbing, isn't it? Yeah.
And we are all the time in contact. So, actually, what are our chances?
Our chances?
To
heal
us.
Oh. See, our chances in this Kali Yuga, Kadava Manjariyas, Dasa tells an illusion. What's about us? We will so easily fall in illusion. And it is a fact that there is a very nice secret in Krishna consciousness, which I will tell you. You should always fix in your mind your goal in Krishna consciousness. That is, that you want to become Krishna's eternal servant, no matter what. This desire to somehow become Krishna conscious will help you in your life to apply the right process. I want to tell you a little story in this connection. Just remember that I had another. Once there was a farmer, a perfectly ordinary farmer. Maybe you have heard already Kandapa Manjari because I'm telling it everywhere. And he came to the from every evening from the from the field. And then he went to the village and talked with the villagers till it came time to go to bed. One day he brought a stone with him. And he made a perfectly shaped, he started to work on the stone. And he made an elephant from it. He said, what a wonderful elephant. Fantastic. And then he got an idea. Why should I always talk so much with the villagers? It's anyways only prajata, or nonsense. I will also tomorrow make an elephant. It will be better than this one. made another elephant. Soon his elephants became just so fantastic that the whole country spoke about these elephants. Even the king, who one day came. And he came to the man. Who? He said, "My dear farmer, make me an elephant like this. I want to learn the secret." So the farmer said, "Very simple. Very simple. Can I also learn it?" "Yes," said the farmer. "It's so simple." "Oh," said the king, "I'm prepared to give my whole kingdom if you teach me to make an elephant like this." The farmer, "That's not necessary. It's very, very simple. You just take the stone, and then you take everything away which is not elephant." So, "Thank you, my dear Sloan." But I'm back. This is how you must lead your life, Kandapa Manjari. You take your Krishna conscious goal, and then you take everything away which is not with this goal. You want to become a servant of Krishna, I know this, because I know you a little bit. But to become a nice Vaishnavi, so you have to see what is it? How does the ideal Kandapa Manjari look like? She will be engaged in devotional service, and will be kind to others, rich in concentrated rounds, and many things are there which you know. So you should in your life just now go take what is not elephant away. It starts tomorrow with your rounds, Kandapa Manjari. When you feel the Umski is going, Umski means mind, like a drunken man on a ship, you know, you should bring it under the control of the self and chant proper rounds. I personally feel that the chanting of good rounds is something like this. What is it? Chisel is the English word. What is the Swedish word? Meisel. Yes, meisel. In German it's Meisel, so it's Meisel. Yes. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra helps you really to take away all the nonsense. Yeah? You didn't expect this answer. Did you know my friend already? No? Then it's good that I brought him just for you. See, I thought that that there would be many people who are the first time in Krishna conscious, in the Krishna conscious lecture, and I'm always making this for these people, because I figure out if they forget everything I said, they will remember the elephant. That's my experience. So at least one thing they take with them. But here, you know, I didn't want to take him out because you are all devotees and you don't need. But I can imagine in 10 years, Kandapa Manjari. I asked him a question. I forgot what it was, but then he took out the elephant. What was it? What did he say? He said I should fix a goal in my life. Take everything away which is not the goal. Oh, very good, very good. Oh, yeah, I remember it. Hare Krishna. Yes.
I struggle with the right view, and that's completely your creation.
And the end of this class, you said that tomorrow you will sing the second part of the story.
Yeah, but he didn't get the second letter.
He was looking for the tape, but some disciples said that he didn't give this second
class. Oh!
He was in Pula.
Pula. Now what to do?
If you can say a few words about what has happened these days while we're staying in Sweden.
Yes, not now. Not now. It's another different world. You have to feel a little, you know, now I'm thinking about so many things, you know, how I could have expressed it better, and, you know, and so on and so forth. And I'm seeing all my audience, and you know, so not now, but
maybe. It's also it's the better if you get the second time, because all the devotees will then come. If you promise that you will tell the story, they will come to the place.
Okay. I have so many subjects which I brought to Sweden, you know. I felt I'm like a salesman. I have brought so many goods with me. I have to get rid of it. I have to get them out, you know, otherwise I have to take them with me to Germany. I must say, in my bag there is no story of Narottam Dasgupta. There is nothing. There are many subjects still, and I have to get them out. But when we get the second take, I could send it maybe to Gaurahari, and then you could get the take. Good. Any other questions? What is this language here? Swedish. Swedish, I see. Swedish, Czech. Croatian, yes, please. That's a very good question. Thank you very much. How do you conquer the contact? I'm sorry. How do you contact the Paramatma or Super Soul in the heart? The first step really is to become aware of him. You have to think meditate that the Lord is there in the heart. The second step is you do have to purify your mind. If you have a mind which is totally upset or agitated, you will not be able to see very clear. You can give the example of a lake. When the lake has so many waves, it's very difficult to see to the ground of the lake. The mind is so totally agitated. You need to purify it or calm it down so that you will be able to you know, make contact with the Lord in the heart. This is best done by chanting. Or you can also pray. This is very potent. You can, for instance, read the prayers of Queen Kunti. They immediately bring you in the right direction. And then you should just pray to him. He waits there to hear your prayers. My dear Lord, I feel very distant from you, but kindly help me in my spiritual life. And often you will see that he does not respond immediately, because he will see how serious you are. Are you just a new ager who wants to have a mystical experience? You know, he will test that. And then, after some time, usually you get an answer and you know, that's it. If you are sincere in devotional service, you often have this experience. Yeah, thank you. you know, at this first coming, in other words, the contact with the super soul from your side is a conscious endeavor to purify your mind, because here it says, for one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached. It's very important to get this little rascal between the two ears. I mean, we understand the mind is in the heart, you know, to just purify him a little, or make him peaceful. And then you should pray to Krishna. He hears you. And I find out, to get real good, it's good to follow like the example of great devotees like Queen Kunti, or very much like personally the Shikshastakam prayers. I'm a fan of them. And you know, it's like a real serious address to Krishna. Then you can ask. It works so wonderful. We should not forget this. Krishna's in the heart. We can turn to him. Surrender to the Super Soul. There was once in our movement, Srila Harikesh Maharaj made a fantastic song with very nice lyrics. You know how we can. And Krishna says in the Gita that he will help the devotee by giving him inspirations from within. Will work. Please try it. You will become very happy. More happy than if you always have the Govinda restaurant traveling with you, you know. And that would be already totally blissful. Imagine. So, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. And please tell Manidhar Prabhu that I totally enjoyed being in the Hare Krishna temple here because of the windows. It's for the first time, not such an oppressive feeling. It's just the mind feels so, oh yes, I can look into Mayapur and Vrindavan. And, yeah, Mayapur and Vrindavan. Very good idea. Very, very, very good. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, iti gaur nitai ki jai, gaur premanande ki jai, gaur
Srila Sachinanda Maharaj ki jai.